Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thank you for joining me for this hour of inspirational, transformational, uplifting, and healing conversations. I love doing The Love Code because it inspires me every week and supports me on my spiritual path, and I'm sure it's going to continue to support everyone listening on their spiritual paths. I also want to remind everyone that if you'd like to receive the archive shows of The Love Code, all you need to do is go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, or go over to my website and opt in there to Dr. Cheryl Selman. I then can send the archive shows to your inbox if you opt in to Dr. Cheryl Selman, or if you like me at What Women Must Know, I post the shows on a weekly basis, and I post a lot of other information that I come across that I think is relevant and uplifting and helping people to live a life that aligns them with their spiritual self and their purpose and whatever else may tickle my fancy. So I hope you'll join me there. And I have one other show on Progressive Radio Network every week, Thursday at 4 p.m., called What Women Must Know. And if you go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, or the website, then I will send both of those shows to you. And both of those shows are so profound in the guests I have and the conversations I have. So I hope you'll opt in and get to make the time so you can listen to both of the shows that I do every week. This is the Love Code is a really special show. I've mentioned before that this show came about in the beginning of the year because of a very special experience I had. And after an interview that I had with Dr. Master Shah, so many things changed as a result of that interview. He was, Dr. Master Shah is a profound spiritual healer and teacher. I think one of the most powerful healers and teachers on the planet these days, and I didn't know that when I first interviewed him. But since then, I've come to really understand a bit more and appreciate the immense work that Master Shah is doing on the planet, and I've had a great privilege and honor to attend some of the retreats that Master Shah has promoted and sponsored and initiated, and having the opportunity to meet some very special people there who have totally inspired me with their dedication and passion and their spiritual expansion and enlightenment, the gifts that they have received while following their spiritual path. So we're going to be talking to one of those very special people today that I have met and been so honored to have as a friend, and her name is Vinay Wong. She lives in Toronto. We're going to be talking about how a spiritual path can help create social change. And a little bit about Vinay. She has over 30 years of leadership, management, and work experience in international and local nonprofits, women, education, labor, public sectors, and different levels of government in the areas of health and wellness, equality and empowerment, organizational development, and social change. She has also worked on vital issues such as violence against women and children, social, economic justice, gender, racial equity, worker and human rights within Canada, U.S., Europe, Asia, and Africa. So you can see why she's such an advocate for social change. And she's an inspirational woman who has so much to share. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Vinay Wong to the show. Hello, Vinay, and welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Cheryl. What a privilege, and so lovely to hear your voice, and a very honor to be invited to be a guest on your show.
Well, we've been waiting a long time to have you on the show, Vinay, because you have been so busy traveling around the world, and I know you've just recently returned from Sri Lanka, and I haven't really caught up with you since then, so I know we'll get to hear more about what work you were doing there. But I always like to start by asking my guests more about their own personal journeys, because I do find that fascinating how our life path has led us to the experiences and to the learnings and to the spiritual awareness that is guiding our lives. So I know you have a really inspirational story, at least that which I know. I'll learn some more today. But yeah, just share a little bit about who you are and your journey and how you found your path with the teachings and practices of Dr. Master Shah.
Thank you, Dr. Cheryl. You know, I was listening to, you know, the question that you're posing before me. I think the best way to start and share with the audience is a little bit about my childhood, right? So I come from a family of immigrants. My parents had at one point left China for Hong Kong during the war and as refugees, and they went back to China. And my father made a very conscious decision. He felt it would be better for all of us if we were if he were to actually settle in Hong Kong. And so I was born in Hong Kong. And he made another pivotal decision to move to Toronto, Canada, as opposed to the United States. And so I share that with you because that immigrant experience and that experience of a working class family might be a story of many of your audience members. Certainly, it is the history of Canada and the United States. So I would say in those early days as a child living in an environment and growing up, there are many forces that came to my consciousness even early on. And I think the great change, great social movements and of social equality, the great change that came from the 60s and the 70s, 80s and onwards is one of the major factors that really motivated me. I think the earliest memories I have is this. You know, I remember distinctly growing up in Chinatown in Toronto. That time it's quite segregated. I mean, geographically, socially segregated. And I wondered why I was here. First, I wondered why I was part of this family. And then I wondered why I was here. You know, I had that clear memory as early as 2 years old. And how am I connected to this city, this planet, and this world? And there had to be a reason that was not known to me at the time. So I think that curiosity and that connection to something larger was very much part of who I was, and partly because of the environment at the time of not being accepted because we were a Chinese immigrant family. And so there were issues of class, of poverty, of racism, and also anti-immigrant sentiments. So I think as a child, that gives you an opportunity to ask different questions. And I think asking those different questions is probably part of what shaped me the most, is to ask the question that someone else may not be asking or see another possibility than the one that's before you. And that led me to realize that if I'm part of this world and this planet, even as a child, I need to participate in it. And so therefore, I think one of the first things I did when I was quite young, I was 8 years old, was I organized a protest because they were closing our local parquet. And when you grew up in the inner cities, there often aren't many opportunities for access for families. And so the park meant everything to me. And I had a wonderful teacher who empowered me, supported me in doing that. That gave me, at the age of 8, an opportunity to say, we as children and young people can be empowered and that we have a fundamental right and to have a say in what happens in our community. That's a long way to kind of share with you. That's how I kind of got started in my consciousness of change, consciousness of a sense of justice and fairness, responsibility, and connection to others not just family, but connection to communities of different people beyond the city and in this world.
Did you keep the park open?
Well, that's a very good question. The television, actually, one of the major television networks came to film this and interview, not myself, but my wonderful classmates. We weren't able to keep it open. You know, we're working against developers at the age of eight. But what it did, I think, for all of us was it made us have a realization of what I call a collective consciousness, that we are agents of change, and there's a collective consciousness, and we're part of that. And it led me, therefore, down the road to say that I'm responsible for this planet, and I want to participate in doing something about it. And then, of course, the larger social, political, economic forces at the time was the wonderful, you know, I won't say birth, but a larger broadening of the women's movement, of human rights, of other global movements of change that occurred at the time. So when I became a young person, I was very active in school and in university to just say that, you know what, fundamentally, if we care about this planet and we care about one another, we just need to do something together. I think that's the heart of it.
It sounds like your path of social activism started very young in life, you know, with that event with your park, but really, you know, brought into your awareness the need to raise your voice and to make change happen.
Yes, it's very true. I share that because, you know, often I'm asked the question, well, what kind of started it for you? And I work with a lot of young people, you know, I honor them very much. And that's one thing that stood out for me, that if someone who's an adult or a leader who, or is a parent or a teacher can infuse that kind of support and help that child or young person discover their greatest path, I think we would be in a different state in the world today. And there are many wonderful, you know, educators and parents doing that, but I mean like at a consciousness level. And so that story stays with me because I remember distinctly how I felt. Also, because of the circumstances at that time, what my parents endured and also was challenged by as far as employment, as far as other systemic barriers that were affecting them and affecting us, where we could live, where someone would rent housing to you, someone would not because of your race and your ethnicity or job. So that also stayed in my heart that there was a fundamental value of we cannot be our greatest best. We cannot live our life in fulfillment if there are other things impacting and constraining our well-being.
So then you went on and studied what? You went on to university and...
Yeah, I went on to to university, and I chose to study sociology and law and public policy. I didn't find that naturally at first because that's not something that was introduced to me in the curriculum in school. But I wanted to help people, and I knew that part of it. So I kind of shifted from what I thought was psychology, but it didn't resonate with me because there was, my own experiences taught me that what shapes us is more than our mind, and that there are other social forces and circumstances that also contribute to affecting us. And that kind of lends itself to me studying that as well as feminist studies and participating in different issues that were very close to my heart. And I volunteered actually at a young age as well while I was going to school And eventually that led me to a number of wonderful opportunities to work in different communities on a variety of social justice issues, from poverty to homelessness to mental health to what you had shared, you know, working in violence against women and children issues for a long time, and many other things.
So let's fast forward into a time when you were introduced. Well, let's talk about some of your health challenges, and then talk about how your association with Master Shah has been so profound and critical on your journey on many levels.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Maybe as a segue, just to share on that point. Excuse me. When I met Master Shah, I was not diagnosed with cancer. I was not sick. And what really drew me to Master Shah was actually an experience that I had prior to meeting him in person. And that is having worked and also volunteered in many incredible organizations that are just trying to bring a better sense of peace and change to the world, there was always something missing for me. And no matter what we did in terms of at the micro level or at the global level, there was always something missing. And that part of it I could articulate very clearly is spirituality, right? So there's social, economic, political change, community development, leadership. But spirituality was missing for me because at the time I was only exposed and I was only familiar with what we commonly call religion. And one of my best friends became ill with cancer, and her cancer, is breast cancer, recurred. And she asked me a very simple question, because I said, what is it that I can do for you? She said, I wish I could find and be part of a spiritual community that includes everyone and welcomed everyone. So I started to do some research locally for communities that would embrace that and would carry that as a mandate. And I didn't find any for her. That was a regret that I had. But it also got me started to look at alternative healing. So a personal situation occurred with my best friend, and she chose the conventional model of treatment, and quite understandably, because it worked for her 10 years earlier. It didn't at this moment in time. And another series of events occurred. My nephew was misdiagnosed with having a condition which then turned out to be cancer. And he transitioned. He passed away when he was 5 years old. So this was very close to home. Search of a healing modality, an additional way, and search for spirituality. In addition to that, my very good friend, he's like a godson to me, and he, also very young, at the age of 5, was diagnosed with cancer as well, liver cancer. And he had, in California, was able to receive some of the best traditional medical care at a world-renowned hospital. But what happened during that time, it wasn't that I didn't believe in what they were doing. I knew it was not enough. Innately, I knew it wasn't enough. But also, what was happening to me was I was having a deep awakening spiritually. Although I wasn't conscious of it at the time, looking back at a number of significant milestones, I realized that's actually what it is. I was also working in the field of law at the time as a non-lawyer, and working on an issue very close to my heart, and that has to do with restorative healing, restorative justice. And for Aboriginal people, First Nations people in Canada. And I learned so much from the elders, and it helped me also realize how disconnected I was with the spirituality within myself. And being in that environment, it all sort of collided. It was like a collateral experience for me, that children, my best friend, diagnosed with the same illness called cancer, and I was on a search to find something for her around spirituality and beginning to do some research, not necessarily about cancer, but alternative healing and complementary medicine. So what happened was, one thing I didn't share, Cheryl, but just to share with you, that since I was a child, I was very present and aware that there was a physical reality in which we live, that the old science tells us we're made of matter and, you know, particles. And we are, of course, and the old science is very important. But I also understood that there is what I call a soul reality. So there's a physical reality that we can touch, see, and measure. And there is a spirituality or a soul reality that right now, at this moment, science and technology cannot easily measure, or maybe they don't believe in. So that allowed me to be very open to experiences that cannot be easily explained. And fast forward to these loved ones in my life passing away, working in the area of with wonderful Aboriginal people and volunteers and staff and leaders, gave me an opportunity to look at restorative healing in a very different way. So one day, this is exactly what happened. I just put it out to the universe. Literally, I remember I was in a backyard. I looked at the trees all around. And I just said, okay, if I have a spiritual connection and some of my spiritual channels are open since I was very young and I'm accepting of this, why haven't I actively made the connection to this? And part of it is my journey of growth and development and learning and making mistakes, but discovering, which I think is a life journey. Because I worked at the macro and micro level of change, but I did not work at the spiritual level of change. So once I put that message out to the universe about what is it that you want me to do, show me, that's literally what I said one day, what is it that you need me to do so I can keep serving, because something is missing. And then I had a number of deep, profound experiences, spiritual experiences, spiritual connection that led me in communicating, if you will, actively with very wonderful, special spiritual beings. And one day, you know, when my friends were open to receiving information about their child, my godson, about additional healing modality, I also, you know, visited him, and we spoke in Spanish and in English together. And he was able to communicate to me in a way that didn't require words, let's put it this way. And it was very profound. And he shared with me about fear and other things and about dying and his parents not knowing. I want to say this with great clarity. He had the best parents, you know, most loving, compassionate parents that did everything for him. So it really touched home that there was still something missing. And so I decided to actively allow my spiritual channels to be more present in my human life, my daily life. And because I still worked full time and I was taking care of my child as a single parent, and I volunteered. So it wasn't that I was short on time. But I realized that there's a timing for everything. And on a very special evening, literally, I woke up out of bed, and I received a message. And the message said, you need to get up out of bed. You need to turn on the television. And first I thought, okay, I'm hearing things. Then second, I said, no, it's very clear. So I literally got up out of bed, and I didn't surf the channel. I just took the remote, and as soon as I opened it, there was Master Shah. Master Shah, Dr. Master Jigong Shah, and he was on city television, and he was on a show, a health show, and I heard him very clearly on the show. It's fundamental to his teaching in soul, mind, body, medicine. He said that everyone and everything has a soul. I have the power to heal myself. You have the power to heal yourself. And together, we have the power to heal the world. And that deeply resonated to me because it was about empowerment. It was about healing. It was about transformation. And it was about service. And then at the little micro level, because I had people in my life that just transitioned from cancer, and there was a little one in my life that I really wanted to support and help heal to the best of my ability. But the truth was, I did not know how, other than doing the research and referring information and being a support and a companion and a friend. And so that sort of came all together. The other thing that's important to share about that story, about being guided to meet Master Shah the way that I did, because I was focused on helping my friend, my nephew, and my godson, you know, I was not focused, as you can imagine, at all on my own wellness and health. You know, my volunteer work and my passion to serve is a strength, but also I did not pay attention to myself. And fast forward, when I eventually did meet Master Shah and had the opportunity to go in person, just trusting the message to be true, trusting that all these signs and experiences were true, when I had the opportunity to meet him in 2008 in Atlanta, Georgia, I was so moved and touched and blown away of the extent of the wisdom, the compassion, and the love, and just the veracity. How did I know it was truth? Because I could feel it in my core. I could feel it in my heart. And when he taught that we are on a spiritual journey and the purpose of life is to serve, and to serve is to make others happier and healthier, and the purpose of life is to advance our spiritual journey. But it's difficult to do that if we're not well or challenged or struggling or isolated or alone and much more. So shortly after that initial retreat, when my channels became more open, and I believe it became more open because I received the teachings, I was in a higher field of energy and light that facilitated that deeper awakening and opening, that I soon started getting a message myself. And that message was that you have cancer. But I didn't pay attention to that message. I thought, okay, maybe it's because I'm helping people in my life or had been helping people in my life on this issue of cancer, that it's in my subconscious. So I kind of just put it on the back burner. And busy with my life, working, volunteering, loving what I do, but didn't spend time connecting to that message, my inner connection, until it got really loud. So it took about a year. It got really loud. And I heard very loudly, you have cancer. And I stopped, right? I remember that moment. It was December, right before Christmas. I stopped. I said, I need to actually pay attention to this. I'm not paying attention to this message. I need to stop what I'm doing. And I made an appointment with my physician, and we have a wonderful relationship. She understands that I'm spiritual, understands that I honor her, but I also have different practices and modality and belief system. And so she literally said, why are you here, Venny, today? I said, well, I'm going to tell you why. I said, I received a message that I have cancer. She said, where? I said, in my left breast. She said, can you feel it? I said, no. She says, how do you know? I said, because I trust that this is the true message to help me. And we went through the regime that most women who are listening to your show or other, you know, wonderful men are listening. You follow the protocol, mammogram, you know, ultrasound. And they confirmed she could not feel it. I could not feel it, but they saw something that was concerning to the radiologist. And then I proceeded to have a biopsy. And it confirmed what they call a multifocal carcinoma. And they indicated it was stage 3 or 4 at the time. And they recommended, in the fullness of the knowledge of that tradition, surgery, so a mastectomy, and radiation chemotherapy. So that was the path that led me to Master Shah and eventually to my health, which was your question. And I opted not to do that. I did want information, and I did see another medical practitioner here in Toronto, medical internist, to explain to me just the statistics and the research. So they explained to me that if I did not pursue this recommended course for breast cancer or any form of cancer, quite frankly, my survival rate would be really low. So I asked, what's my survival rate if I choose not to do this? They say, you choose not to do this in your case because of the advanced aggressive cancer. You have maybe 6 months on the short end. The longest would be 9 to 12 months. But if you do this now, right, the conventional treatment, radiation, surgery, and mastectomy, you have a very good chance of living for 5 years. So I thank them for the information. I really did, because I know that they were doing the greatest best for what they believe in. The only difference was I didn't believe that was the only way. And so when I spoke to them to say, I'm not going to do that at this time, I'm going to pursue what I believe in, I'm going to apply the teaching of Dr. and Master Shah, because I was a student already, not a long-term student, but a student for 2 years, a little bit over 2 years. And what I received from them was a lot of fear and judgment. You know, judgment and fear that came up because they said to me, how can you do this to your child and your son? You have a responsibility as your son's mother to live as long as you can to take care of them. And that's when I realized that in a lot of these practitioners that I saw at that time, there was such a lack of understanding and knowledge, and that there was fear coming up and it was projected at me. And that fear was probably because they lost loved ones in their lives, that there was no other way possible. It wasn't that they were not good people or good practitioners. They just understood this way. And if you ask for more time or propose a different modality or a complementary modality, I was not received well with love and compassion, and I was judged. And that happened quite a bit, Dr. Cheryl. But I was okay with that because in those moments, I just go back to what I believe in our teachings. Have compassion. People judge because they don't understand. And their hearts are not as open as it can be. So that's how I was diagnosed, and it's been more than 9 years. And I still have the medical diagnosis of advanced stage 4 cancer, and that is a miracle. You know, I am a living miracle of the practices, the Tao calligraphy, healing, light transmission, or as you have so eloquently said, healing technology. This is the new science and the new healing, which is available to us now. But what's important is I need to participate in my transformation and my healing. So forgive me if I've been long-winded. It was a way to share about what I believed, circumstances in my life, people transitioning, needing help, looking into it, and not realizing that the answer was spiritual healing. So thank you for asking the question.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. You know, the thing you mentioned, the statement about fear and how fear gets projected is so true. There's so much fear around a diagnosis of cancer. And the intention in the traditional medical model is to save people, and that's the system they've been taught. But there are many dimensions to healing, and there are many paths to healing. We sometimes lose sight of that or have never been told that, and that healing is more than just getting rid of this growth. Healing requires a lot more of change, of transformation, to really resolve an issue that's manifesting in a physical way. So what have you been learning through this process of since you were diagnosed 9 years ago, and where are you with that process today?
I'm still on a journey of transformation and healing. And I believe that I'm intended to. The reason, if I may elaborate on that, the reason I'm saying that is it's given me an opportunity to really bring my soul, heart, mind, as in consciousness, the energy and the physical aspect of my body into higher alignment, higher unity, higher wholeness. You know, I was someone who was very dedicated in the outward way. You know, my energy, my chi, my life force, my doing was always outward. And this journey of 9 years, what it's done is heal me at a deep soul level. And it's given me opportunity, not as a one-time experience, but a continuous process of widening, deepening, and fundamentally expanding my heart. You know, my heart still needs to expand more. I'm not saying that it's complete or fully open. I would really say it's only the beginning of the journey because, you know, as Master Shah so lovingly said one time, that true love is to be able to hold all of humanity in your hearts unconditionally and equally. So there's somewhere inside my being, right? I'm still on that journey of true love, all aspects of myself. And cancer, as you mentioned earlier, has been actually a tremendous gift. That might seem strange to people who are very ill or hurting or struggling or may have lost loved ones to people. I understand that. But the teaching and the lesson is not to punish. The teaching that comes from having, quote, this critical illness, I say quote because I don't describe myself that way. That's how I'm often referred to by some medical professionals, is that the gift is what are the lessons that I can embrace day to day. If I had been, quote, cured, meaning removing the tumor, you know, quote, killing the cancer in my body, I would not have had all the opportunities I've had over these 9 years to be on a continuous healing journey to with love and compassion where students and clients and strangers or people who come to an event that I might be a part of. They get to discover Master Shaw's teaching and the power of Tao healing, the power of the soul, and the power of love, forgiveness, and gratitude if I was completely healed on day one. So it's given me an opportunity to what I would say, continue to serve in a very unique way and continue to draw upon the ups and downs, right, of one's health. Or if we want to think about it, someone might be in good health, but frequency and vibration going up and down as a way to serve others and as a way for me to grow in my spiritual development and bring myself into a better alignment of what we say is love, peace, harmony, and compassion. So to me, Cancer is a great teacher. It humbles you. It teaches you. And it guides me to not take things for granted, to be much more grateful for everything that I have, and not about the things I don't have or I can't see or why hasn't something changed. So not the why, as opposed to just being present for my family, my child, you know, and for others. That's what makes us human. And I think that the world is in its state today is because we've closed our humanity to ourselves, which means closing our compassion and closing it to others. So I'm grateful for everything it's brought, and it has not stopped me or debilitated me in any way. I, for example, you might know this, Dr. Cheryl, with the blessings and the practices, the meditation, and all the techniques through Tao calligraphy, moving meditation, and soul, mind, body practices, it has fulfilled my life in a way that I could not imagine at all. And with that, you can only be grateful to the teachings, and also, in my case, you know, Master Shaw is my spiritual teacher.
So
and if it draws inspiration... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you finish your thought, Renee.
I just wanted to say, if it draws inspiration for others that might listen to this program, or discover his videos or teaching or pick up a book or a podcast, it's worth it. We are fundamentally, I believe, created from a special place of a sacred heart, and our highest alignment has always been in service of others and ourselves, and together others will serve us. We've just forgotten that at some conscious level.
So that's such an incredible story. So here you are 9 years later. You have the stage four, never metastasized. It's basically there like it was 9 years ago. You made another choice, and you listen to your deep inner knowingness. And I think that's such a key piece here, because there is a journey for all of us. There is a healing path for all of us, and you have to listen, follow your intuition whenever you're dealing with a serious, chronic, potentially life-threatening situation of any sort. The ultimate way through is to be quiet, to listen, to let your intuition guide you to find your path. There are many paths. You have to find your path. And the fact that you've kind of defied all odds, you know, this process is still present, but it hasn't spread, hasn't metastasized. It's empowered you in a sense. It has given you, through the process of what you've had to learn, has just been a deep, deep, deep transformational healing journey for you. So here's a question I want to ask. So is your intention that this process will resolve, that you'll, whatever is required to heal whatever karma has gone on, to complete it? Is that an intention you hold?
Yes, I do. perhaps before I had the opportunity to speak to that, just to share with you something factually. It had metastasized in the past at different times. So what do I mean by that? They had told me in the original diagnosis that they could see, you know, through the MRI and the ultrasound, that it had actually spread. So I wanted to just to clarify that,
mm-hmm.
because they could see it in my lymph node. They could see it in my lymph node. And then one other time, about 2 years after that original diagnosis, so this would be about approximately 7 years ago, you know, they had, I went for a checkup, and at the time I was going for checkups, and they had identified that the cancer spread to my other part of my breast. And what happened was, I was very blessed. Master Shah was in Toronto at the time, and I shared that with him, and he very compassionately, generously offered some healing and sent transmission of light to my body and the other side of the breast. I went back to do a follow-up test at the hospital, and they said they can't see anything, that the radiologist was wrong, and they can't see anything. Maybe it was just a cyst or something. So I just shared that with you because I want to let you know that the miracle is just in level, right? Because to have that diagnosis, to have it manifest in the physical level, it has not completely healed or transformed, but I'm able to continue to work and volunteer often more than 80 hours a week, which is, I think, very difficult for a healthy, able body, right? So to get to your point now, one thing I do want to share with the listeners is that it's really important to be calm. It's really important to be calm. And to know whatever is manifested physically doesn't necessarily have to remain there. Here is an example of, you could call it miraculous healing, you know. One day, I had noticed that the tumor had all of a sudden, when I say all of a sudden, probably I didn't pay attention for about 3 weeks, got very large. And I said to myself, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing, right? I needed to stop. I put away the computer. I put away everything. I'm not paying attention to myself enough. And so I just meditated. I did moving meditation with the Tao Chung calligraphy. I meditated for 9 hours using the soul, heart, mind, body technique and meditating, tracing with calligraphy light. And after, it became like early morning by that time, the tumor went back to its normal size. So I'm just sharing that with people. It may not be completely gone, but when those moments of healing can potentially make us feel dejected or go into fear or panic or worry, or we no longer believe, we can empower ourselves to connect and use the tools, bring ourselves into a heart-based way, give ourselves love, excuse me, and nourish ourselves. So that was just, Dr. Shira, that happened about maybe like 5-6 months ago. And to move forward where I am today is that that was a message to me. So I'm very grateful to share that I made a decision, and I'm very supportive. I've always been supported to do whatever is right for me. No one has ever said to me, of course, including Master Shah, you know, he has always encouraged me to take time and to rest, to focus on my healing, and to do whatever I'm comfortable with. It was always my choice, and because I knew, as you used the word karmically, part of my journey was to go on this path of deeper learning, deeper awakening, deeper humility, and deeper gratitude. So I'm still working on it, and I will be taking some human time off and to do exactly that. I need to do at least 5 hours a day. That's the guidance I received, where I'm not losing my energy or giving my energy an external focus outward. I need to change that direction, come into a greater balance, and dedicate more time to myself. Most days I dedicate 2 hours if I can. Some days it's far less. But really, I understand that the universe is really loving and compassionate, and I'm in a very good place, so I very much look forward to taking a few months off, and not as a vacation, but to go deeper and to go in a place of silence. So I'm very grateful because it has been 9 years, and which is much longer, might I add, than the original, you know, prognosis had I chosen a traditional path.
And so interesting, you know, 9 years is, in numerology, is considered a completion of a cycle. So perhaps this process you're in is about completing a cycle, completing a cycle that you've been in of learning, dealing with this experience, and moving you into a whole new place of possibilities, a whole new beginning.
Thank you for teaching me that. I didn't know. Okay. I'll hold that in my heart. Yes, it will.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing to hold. You know, you said something about being calm. I just want to say that I recently interviewed a doctor who specializes in integrative medicine and oncology, and he was saying that, because I asked him, what's the first thing you should be doing when anyone gets a diagnosis of cancer, what do you recommend? He goes, you have to be calm. You have to, eliminate the fear and the panic. You have to be calm, connect to that spiritual connection, because he said people who operate out of fear have something like a 30% increase incidence of metastases from the fear. And the effect of fear on the body. So that was so profound what you said. So, we have just a few minutes left, and I was going to ask if you could share a few other thoughts to people listening, people who may be dealing with a diagnosis of some condition, some health, perhaps some, life-threatening condition, or just a difficulty in life, and you've been on such an amazing journey that has been a source of great inspiration for many people. What are a few words of wisdom that you can share with my audience today? In addition to all the other words of wisdom you've been sharing.
Maybe I'll share something. It's like a little mantra, right? It's a little mantra that you can think of it as a prayer or an affirmation or a meditative practice. And I received guidance, spiritual guidance to do this. I do it every day, and it's been about, like I said, 9 years. Before I get out of bed, so you set the alarm, and especially if you're someone with a significant, critical, serious illness, it's not easy to get out of bed, right? On occasion, it can take me 2-3 hours to get out of bed, for example. But it's what we do in those moments that are most important, and what we do every day, even when we feel great and we can jump out of bed. So what I do is when I'm consciously awake, I just spend 2 minutes. I do lots of healing practices, spiritual healing practices, but these 2 minutes, I believe, is a gate opener, is that first of all, I give gratitude and I ask for forgiveness. I don't actually ask whoever we believe in, Mother Earth, the universe, divine, God, source, or our spiritual mothers and fathers. I actually say this. I say, dear divine Tao and source, I love you. I honor you. and I deeply appreciate you. I cannot express enough the gratitude I have in my heart that you've given me another day to serve. Please forgive me for any of my mistakes that I'm conscious of or unconscious of. I'm most grateful and humble. And I say that a few times. And then I do my other practices. And I say that before I go to bed. And I believe what that helps me and anyone who's called to try this, it brings us back into a place of love and gratitude and forgiveness. And that the purpose of life is to serve. And those actually are Master Shah's golden keys to healing. But for myself, I started saying that every morning and every evening. The other thing is it might help those that know a loved one or if they're going through difficulties with health or something like the condition of cancer, is wherever it might appear in your body, right? You know, or it's inward, wherever the blockage, and it just means that that part of your body's out of balance, is causing you the greatest pain, the greatest fear. You have to touch yourself. So you have to put your hand, you know, say you have no cartilage in your knee, or you've been diagnosed with a brain tumor, or you have MS. You literally have to touch yourself, put your hand on that part of your body, and give yourself the greatest love. And if your love you feel is not high enough or radiant enough, you can ask the universe, Mother Earth, the divine, the Tao source, to please come in to nourish you with their greatest love. And then you can chant the mantra or see the word greatest love. And better yet, if you have the greatest love book or one of Master Shah's Da'ai greatest love calligraphy card, you can move with it and trace with it. So those are some few practical tips that I believe have really been significant in assisting me and aiding me and continues to do so. Thank you, Cheryl.
Well, thank you. You know, it's so profound and so simple, and it's just something people need to do, however they do it. And I want to just say, if people go to the website, drshah.com, there are a lot of resources there. It's Dr. Shah, drshah.com. There's also another website. It's called peaceloveharmony.org, peaceloveharmony.org, because there is a song, Peace, Love, and Harmony, that is a very powerful song that people can just sing, and miracles have happened for people by just having that song playing and singing it, chanting it. So it's not complicated. It can be very simple how people can invoke a power that allows greater healing to come into their being. And, you know, your story is so inspirational, Renee. Thank you so much for the passion, the commitment that you have and the work that you do. I'm so glad you're going to be taking some time and giving that loving attention that you give out to everyone else, to yourself as a focus. It's a very profound time, and I'm sure the end of this 9-year cycle that you're in will bring some amazing changes to you on your healing path. So I can't wait to hear the progress.
Yeah.
You know. So, it's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for the honor. You know, miracles are every day. We just have to believe it, and that vision is within us, and the possibility is always there, you know, and it's the answers
and,
are within.
And I hate to stop you saying, but we're at the very, very end. So I've got to say goodbye to you. Thank you, Vinay Wang, for your sharing. Thank you to my audience. And remember, let each day be filled with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.